Greetings, everyone. At this time, I would like you to open your Bibles now to Proverbs chapter 9. Be sure to take out your outline so you can follow along. Proverbs chapter 9. And we pick up where we left off. To get the flow of the context, just so you know, for the structure of Proverbs, the first nine chapters are really designed to help establish the importance of wisdom, and in contrast to the life of a fool or folly or foolishness. And then in chapter 10 to the end of the book, break down all kinds of different individual proverbs that show the juxtaposition or the contrast between living a wise life or a life of folly. Last time we were together, as we came into chapter 9, we see an invitation by Lady Wisdom and by Woman Folly. This morning we're going to deal with Woman Folly's invitation. That will be in verses 13 to the end of the chapter. But to get the context, please begin in verse 1 as I read the chapter. Follow along as we get the context of this chapter. Wisdom had built her house. She had hewed out her seven pillars. She had slaughtered her meat. She had mixed her wine. She had also furnished her table. She had sent out her maiden. She cries out from the highest places of the city. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. As for him who lacked understanding, she said to him, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine that I have mixed. Forsake foolishness and live, and go in the way of understanding. He who corrects a scoffer gets shame for himself. And he who rebukes a wicked man only harms himself. Do not correct a scoffer, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years of life will be added to you. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. And if you scoff, you will bear it alone. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knows nothing. For she sits at the door of her house and on the seat by the highest place of the city to call those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And as for him who lacked understanding, she said to him, sullen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of hell. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come before you this morning to help us to understand and to be warned that folly is always out there, urging it off the right path, off the path of the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of the Holy One. To follow the path of folly and foolishness. Oh Lord, help it to realize it's not some innocent little joke and these are little picadillos in our life, but these are choices that truly changes who we are by the choices we make. We either choose to fear the Lord and follow the path of wisdom and get its blessedness that comes from it and life in its fullness and richness, or we embrace and heed the voice of folly and to follow the path of folly and foolishness and sin. Oh Lord, help it to realize that each and every one of us, with every decision that Proverbs addresses in here, is a decision that had moral element to it. that we are either drawing closer and closer to the path of wisdom or farther and farther away. Lord, today we have been exhorted to be discerning and to beware of folly's invitation to foolishness. Help us to run from it, to flee from it, to recognize it and have the discernment to see it for what it is, and at the end thereof, not only bring pain and sorrow, but death. Death, ultimately, spiritual deadness. Oh Lord, we pray that you will help us to take the high ground and to heed the voice of Lady Wisdom. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. By way of introduction, in Proverbs chapter 9, we have basically this outline. In the first six verses, we have Lady Wisdom's invitation. She prepared her meal, she slaughtered her meat, she got her drink, she prepared her table, and she even sent out invitation. And she basically, her call and exhortation was the fact that come and eat of my bread and drink of the wine that I have mixed. And the context was not so much a meal as a metaphor to say, embrace my way of life. Because the very next verse said, forsake foolishness and live. Go in the way of understanding. And yet, right after that, we have the challenge of verses 7 through 9 about people who are teachable versus unteachable. It is important that you understand that to live a life of wisdom and to pursue wisdom's path and route and way is to be teachable, to be willing to be rebuked and corrected and instructed. The word instruction is the idea of being educated through correction. Very significant for each and every one of us to understand that the way of wisdom is always a way of correction and rebuke. It is a way of life. Proverbs teaches us that. Because we're sinners by nature, we make wrong decisions, we come to wrong conclusions, and we build our lives on wrong premises and principles. That's why we need God's Word to guide us and lead us. Here we are exhorted to be teachable to when we are corrected. But if you're one of those that just kind of get a little upset and angry when corrected, that is a mark of an unteachable person. They don't want anybody else to tell them what to do. They don't want to be corrected. They are perfectly content in the path of folly and simplicity. They need to be reminded, as Proverbs said in chapter 1 when we were clear back there a while back, how long are you going to remain in your simplicity? Why would you continue this path when it will lead you to nothing but sorrow, pain, and shame? Then we hear again the foundational theme of the book of Proverbs, and that is the fear of the Lord at the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord at the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is where it all starts, and it is the beginning, it is the source, it is where it all begins. Apart from the fear of the Lord, you cannot have and live according to wisdom that comes down from above. You can be intelligent, you can be smart, but you will lack the wisdom that comes down from above. The Bible makes a distinction between the wisdom of this world versus the wisdom of God. By definition, we have defined wisdom. It's taking knowledge and applying it to life for the glory of God, for the good of our fellow man. That's how we see it worked in totality throughout the book of Proverbs. It's not always about applying knowledge to life for the best of me, but for the glory of God and for the good of others. And you will be blessed by it. That's why he said at the end of in verse 12, if you are wise, you'll be wise for yourself, and if you scoff, you will bear it alone. When you follow the path of wisdom, you will be blessed because of making those choices and decisions to follow the path of the fear of the Lord. However, if you want to be the scoffer and a mock and laugh and treat God's principles and wisdom's way and route and path and dismissed it and despised it and refused to be taught and submitted to it, you will bear the brunt of your folly yourself. Which leads it to where we at right now. In verses 13 to 18, we have the invitation by woman folly. We have this clearly at the end. The woman folly stands in bold contrast to Lady Wisdom. Both women have prepared a feast and are inviting people to it. Wisdom, in essence, is saying, come to me, forsake foolishness, and live. Where woman folly said, come to me and I'll give you a good time. I'll give you a good life. We're going to have fun. We're not going to worry about all of the little stuff that should not cramp our style in life. So let's take a look at what we have here. Point number one, it talked about woman folly as the host in verses 13 through 15. Verse 13, this woman is a foolish woman. It's clamorous. She is simple and knows nothing. There are three things here that are said to describe this woman who takes on the persona of folly. These are metaphors. These are using a metaphor and to show and communicate a message. First word is the word clamorous. That word means that woman, people who are one of folly, are boisterous, they're loud, full of unrest and commotion. They're constantly unrest and unruly and constantly loud, and whereas Lady Wisdom is quiet, always presenting her case and appealing to your highest aspect of your life. We're here, woman folly is boisterous, loud, assertive. The next one is the word simple. This is the word that means naive. This is not a pejorative term. This is not a mocking term. This is just simply stating a fact. This folly and the life of folly is another way of saying a life of vanity. A life that is vain, empty, simple, produces no real fruit at the end of the day and at the end of one's life. The word simple is the naive. It is one who is gullible, silly, and open to any and all influences. They really have no conviction. The only conviction they have is that I'm not following Wisdom's way. I'm going to follow my way. I'm here. Life is hard. Let's enjoy it while we're going through life. That's the mantra of those who are given to foolishness and folly. That woman of folly is no better than the one she solicits. Clearly, she is seen as the simple one, naive, gullible, taught to and fro, whatever feels good at the moment, instead of being driven by principles and precepts. Matthew Henry said it this way, folly is the great enemy to virtue, an introduction to vice that defiles and debauches the mind, stupefies the conscience, and puts out the sparks of conviction more than anything else. This tempter here is described to be very ignorant. She is simple and knows nothing. That is, she has no sufficient solid reason to offer. Where she gets dominion in the soul, she worked out all knowledge of holy things, and they are lost and forgotten. So the idea is when you allow folly to come in and take a root and a hold of your life in a certain area, that pretty soon it'll bleed in the other, and little by little it'll push out knowledge of holy things, knowledge of good things and right things, and they will, after time, will soon be lost and forgotten. That's why it said earlier in Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You don't want that to happen. You don't want to embrace little bits and pieces of folly and foolishness and vanity that you push out what you have learned or may have learned and have embraced that would have been on the right path. Here we see in this chapter both Lady Wisdom and Woman Folly are making the call to the naive and the simple one. Again, the naive and simple one, those who are lacking information. They lack discernment. But the issue is Lady Wisdom promises more to move them forward into the path of understanding and wisdom and life, while Woman Folly leaves them stuck in their foolishness and in their folly. Notice the third thing that is said. Not only is she clamorous, loud, boisterous, not only is she simple and naive, she knows nothing. Now that doesn't mean she's stupid. Doesn't mean she's not smart or intelligent. The idea here is it knows nothing. Two words put together is knowing nothing. It's another way of they live. She had complete ignorance. And the ignorance that it's referring to that we see throughout Proverbs is the ignorance of moral knowledge. Moral knowledge, not knowledge of information in general. But the idea had to do with moral ignorance. These people may be smart and intelligent, but they lack a moral compass. Do we not see that all around us today, where people call good evil and evil good? They have twisted God's design in almost anything and everything. It is a direct attack upon the Creator at every level. But that's the height of folly and foolishness. Ah, who needs that? Who believes there is a God? Is there such a thing? The answer is yes. That's why wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. You dismiss that point, you will live a life of folly and bear the brunt of that alone. Clearly we see woman folly here is trying to get people to follow her path of folly and foolishness. Ah, quit taking life so serious. Yeah, there's the time to do that. We'll do that later. Let's now have a good time. But we need to be careful, as we have been instructed by God's word and warned again and again to be careful. These people, like I said, may be smart and intelligent. They lack a moral compass. They have no framework to discern good and evil, or even its consequences. We know from earlier, those who are given over to folly rarely have a desire to leave their ignorance and simplicity and folly and to do what's right. Even Paul, as he instructed Timothy, clear in 1 Timothy chapter 6, you want to write that down, 1 Timothy 6, verses 3 through 5. Listen to these words in the context of what I just read and gave to you this morning. Verse 3, if anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing. Do you see the connection? Knowing nothing, go all the way back to our passage. But it's upset with dispute and argument over words which come envy and strife and reviling and evil suspicion. Unless useless wrangling to men of corrupt mind, destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is the means of gain, from such withdraw yourself. Clearly we see here even Paul instructing Timothy, when you have people like this in the church that constantly want to do all of this flamboyant arguing and wrangling over little things, and these are people who know nothing from a moral compass standpoint. They are destitute of the truth. And how do we know that? Because they're not lining up according to the Word of God. They do not speak the Word as the Word of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that leads to godliness. And that's what we have here. John Kitchen said it this way in his commentary, quote, "This personification of foolishness invites her victim to a loud life of riotous partying without the thought of the consequences and without the ability to calculate what will be the cost to them." Here lies the danger when you embrace woman folly, when you embrace vanity, when you embrace foolishness with your life, even if it's a temporary moment, it will have consequences. And when you follow the path of folly, you lose the ability to calculate what it will cost you in the end. Alan Roth said it this way: folly offers immediate gratification, whereas wisdom offers long-term satisfaction. Verse 14 now. For we're still dealing with woman folly, for she sits at the door of her house and on a seat by the highest place of the city. Here now, folly wants to stake her claim on public life and discourse. She wants to voice in the marketplace of ideas and discords on the streets. Notice, folly is having built no house, prepared no meat, nor wine, nor sent any messengers, which is exactly what Lady Wisdom did. Lady Wisdom, we find her preparing for those who will come to her. She is seen preparing her meat and drink and setting her table for the guests, and she even sends out a personal invite by her messengers. So we see here clearly what is interesting. One commentator said it this way: when you observe woman folly here, her inactivity smacks that of laziness. No work, no preparation, no providing something of substance. It smacked of laziness. She is not about to serve. She could care less about serving. It's about only what she can get in the way of service to her in the end. We'd bring to verse 15, to call those who pass by who go straight on their way. Here she's standing there trying to get her attention. She had no real power and authority. She appealed to the base emotions of people. Now she raises her voice to woo, whistle, and allure unsuspecting travelers who are passing by, who appear to be on the right path, minding their own business. Notice the text again in verse 15. To call those who pass by who go straight on their way. And the reason why I bring this out, because when you look at the other times when we are dealing with the seductress and the adulteress in chapter 4 and 6 and 7, clearly we saw she was constantly reaching out to get their attention. Plus, the simple person was looking for problems. Not in this case. This person appeared to be minding their own business, and even on a, using the word straight, right path. Minding their own business. Bruce Walkie said this, that verse signified youth who follows wisdom teaching without personally committing to them. Folly tests their mettle. The idea here is what it appears to be. It's talking about young people who, or somebody who had grown up in a good home and are in the habit of being in the right path, but did not commit to wisdom's call to be their own or to take it for themselves personally. If you remember from chapter 1 on, the call was to every individual person, and every individual person was supposed to make that commitment to fear the Lord. You don't follow on the coattail of parents. You don't follow on the coattail of friends. You do. Your call is to embrace the fear of the Lord personally and make that commitment. When we did the series at the front end of this, we talked about all the different fools in the book of Proverbs at varying degrees. The very first one was the simple one, the naive one, the one who is ignorant, and there was still hope for them if they simply would gain the information and commit to that information. All the others were committed. No, I don't want to fear the Lord. I want my way. And then it went all the way from somebody who just wanted a good time, somebody who's kind of stubborn and resistive, to all the way down to the scorner who mocked and laughed at sin. So, beloved, we need to see here what we have probably here is a person who had good training, was doing things out of habit, not conviction, doing things out of what they grew up learning, but did not make it their own. When you look at that, to call those who pass by, here lies the temptation right here. Woman folly is appealing to this person. Necbert talked about whoever is simple, let him turn in here. But the old idea here is we need to realize folly is a dangerous thing to yield to. Folly is the same thing as yielding to sin. Foolishness is sin. The world wants to make light of it. God does not. The only proper response to this kind of invitation, to sin, to folly, is what we have learned earlier in Proverbs 4, verses 14 and 15. Do not enter in the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it. Pass on. Stay away. Don't go there. Even later on in Proverbs 15:21, folly is the joy to him who is destitute of discernment. But a man of understanding walked uprightly. If you are one of those who may have gotten into a had a good home and a good relationship and good training, and you have not made the commitment to fear the Lord yourself, take heed lest you be taken by woman folly. That's the whole warning of these verses, not to go there. So now we look in verse, point number two, folly's invitation, verse 16. Excuse me. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And as for him who lacked understanding, she said to him. And so before we get into her proverb in verse 17, now she invites the simple to turn toward her folly. Give me ear. Give attention to me. Listen to what I have to say. Listen to my invitation. And so we see here that she is now, obviously, this simple person had stopped to listen when should have walked on. Violated Psalm 1:1, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, stand in the seat of the sinners and the seat of the scornful. So we see here, John Kitchen said this, where the wisdom of God is rejected, listen carefully, where the wisdom of God is rejected, the appeal to folly is taken up, unexamined, because it appealed to our pride and independence. Independent from what? I want to do my thing. Independent from God. Independent from what He had to say on me. Independent of what He commands or ask of me in the way of duty. Now let's look at verse 17. This is the content of her invitation. It's in the form of a proverb. Sullen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. Now when you look at the contrast between what Lady Wisdom offered, beautiful, delicate, well-prepared meat, drinks, table with all the deckings, wonderful RSVP invitation. Here, sullen water is sweet and bread is eaten in secret, it's pleasant. Here she gives the proverb of her own, the two key words to pick up to understand folly. Invitation is the word stolen secret. What we have here, now some people want to morph this to be the same as the adulteress and the seductress that we have learned earlier in the book of Proverbs. I do not believe that's the case because there's really no innuendos about sexual connotation here. But I do believe there is a strong case for sin in any shape, way, or form to entice you to embrace sin of your choice or liking. The whole idea here is the fact, the key word of stolen in secret. When you think of the fair at the banquet of folly seemed pale in comparison to the one offered by Lady Wisdom. Verse 2, it said, she slaughtered her meat, she had mixed her wine, she had also furnished her table. Clearly we see huge difference. Stolen water, bread eaten in secret. And the whole idea here, it folly's water tasted sweeter because it was stolen. Bread had pleasant because it was eaten and done in secret. The whole idea here, as Matthew Henry states, the sweetness and the pleasantness constitutes the bait. The idea it was done in secret. Here lied what I believe is the general tenor of wanting to do sin, to shoot folly in any choice that contrary to wisdom's path, contrary to wisdom's way, contrary to God's pattern and way. This idea here is folly's enticing us to the life of sin, pleasure, and foolishness. Proverbs 24, verse 9 says this, the devising of foolishness is sin. And the scoffer is an abomination to men. The sin is a sport to fools, Proverbs said. Even in Hebrews 11, verse 25, it's talked about the passing pleasures of sin. So here we see the sweetness and the pleasantness constitute the bait. Trying to get you, instead of taking the high ground, the best way in the long term and the long game, and to live a life that will bring fruit in the end and throughout, cancel all that for immediate gratification, for immediate pleasures and pleasantries. Oh, the idea here, the commentators all have alluded to, that we're all prone to want what is forbidden. What shall doesn't take the irresistible challenge of mom or dad saying, don't do this. And they kind of, when mom and dad turn their back, they do it. But the idea here, stolen water is sweet and bread eaten in secret, it's pleasant. This is the temptation to sin and disobey God. Throughout Proverbs, the temptation had always been towards sexual sin, but here, any sin constitutes folly. Any sin. And even though we see here, though she uses the proverb, I done in secret, let's always remember these words. In Hebrews 4, verse 13, there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Before Almighty God, he sees it all. So we need to understand, woman folly is trying to tempt all of us to sin, to disobey God, to live for the here and now instead of living a life of wisdom and one of discernment and understanding. Learning how to distinguish between what's right and what's wrong and taking the path that is right. Would bring it to point number 3, verse 18. Which is the statement that has been restated over and over and over throughout our series in Proverbs up to this point. Not telling you something you don't already know, but we need to be reminded again and again of it. Verse 18, but he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of hell. here, the word but changes everything. You lived in the woman folly, but if you embrace her and you accept her and you accept her invitation, you need to realize, but as it said, here is the warning. Here it exposes the fool's fatal flaw. Those who embrace this invitation by woman folly do not know that the dead are her guests. Those who have embraced her. Here we have seen this contrast over and over throughout the first 9 chapters of Proverbs. It was here to lay bare and expose sin and folly and all of its heinous reality. Here we see death, spiritual deadness, ultimately spiritual death, are the reward of all those foolish enough to pursue folly or sin of any kind. I like what Alan Ross said, sobering word. Many eat on earth what they digest in hell. Think about that. They don't think about the consequences. They don't think about that these seem to be apparently innocent little phobos and picadillos and nothing to worry about, when in reality, every time you choose folly, more and more you're turning that very central component and part of your being away from God instead of to God to live a life of wisdom. It forgets the words of Ezekiel 18, verse 4, the soul whose sins shall die. Or Paul's admonition in Romans 6, 23, for the wages of sin is death. And yet over and over throughout these 9 chapters, this one included, we have also been given the challenge and the blessedness if we accept wisdom's invitation. Amen. That is what we need to urge and encourage you to do. Wisdom said in verses 5 and 6 of Proverbs 9, come eat of my bread and drink of the wine that I have mixed. Forsake foolishness and live. Absolute opposite of those who embrace woman folly. The dead are in their midst. They are part of her guests. Here, Lady Wisdom said this, forsake foolishness and live, and go in the way of understanding. Go in the way of wisdom. Go in the way of discernment. To learn to distinguish between good and evil and always take the path to that which is good. Even in verse 11 of chapter 9, it said, for by me, wisdom, your days will be multiplied and your life will be added to you. That's the blessedness of taking the high road of fearing the Lord and learning the knowledge of the Holy One, which is understanding. Alan Roth concluded this portion by saying this, the two paths of wisdom and folly resulting in life or death reach a vivid climax in chapter 9. Almost every verse in the remainder of the book point to one or both of these paths and or their consequences. So when we go throughout all of the rest of the book of Proverbs, we're going to be doing it in a thematic, topical subject matter. Tonight will be our first one, showing the contrast between the humble and the proud. And when we may say, well, that seems like a little thing, but any subject that Proverbs dealt with is dealing with issues that had moral components and elements to it. And for you to take the element of folly over wisdom is detrimental to your life and your purpose for being here. That's why we should never underestimate anything. You're going to be surprised of all the different topics and subjects that will be addressed in chapter 10 through the 31. We're going to break them down. There are so many. But above all, the simple thing is, May we heed wisdom's call, not folly's call. May we heed wisdom and realize that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. This is where it all started. At the very outset of the book in verse 7 of chapter 1, fear of the Lord at the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise wisdom. We don't want to be that. We don't want to make the choice of embracing folly over wisdom. May we be committed to that which is honoring to the Lord, fearing His name. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your goodness. And Lord, if there's anyone here that doesn't know Christ as their Lord and Savior, may they see their need simply through, are they teachable? To reject God is to be in rebellion. To be in rebellion is to be yet in your sin. To be your need of sins to be forgiven. That Christ came to provide hope for sinners, for those who by faith alone in Christ alone would be forgiven and reconciled before Almighty God. But Lord, if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, hunger and thirst for wisdom, may we do it in a way that brings glory to Your name. And we know from Your promises, it produces and brings about blessedness, for which we give You the praise and the honor and the glory. Oh, Father, if there's anyone here who are tempted to listen to folly and foolishness, Lord, help them to see the warning that only the dead are among her guests. Oh, Lord, whether we see it, recognize it, or feel it, doesn't matter. Your word said so. So may we heed Your word. May we listen to what it says. May we honor You in submitting to it. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.